As you take your beautiful seats, you're welcome for the morning service. And as you see, it is the youth ministering. Hallelujah. Online viewers and followers, you're welcome. And I want us to appreciate the youth for ministering to us. I appreciate yourself for coming. That one amazes me, the way you appreciate yourself. Hallelujah. Let's appreciate Papa and Mama in absentia. And for this grace, glory be to God. Above all, let's appreciate the Lord, the King of Kings, Adonai, Elohim, El Shaddai. Glory be to God. This is, as you've seen, it is the youth who are ministering to us. And it is like dedicated to the youth, that you may see the potential that is in you. Hallelujah. That you are brought closer to God as you begin to minister unto Him. Yes. So we're going to study a life of a youth in the Bible, because Paul told us that these things are written for our learning. And we're going to pick that learning from Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. This is the life of a teenager. Just a bit of it. Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 to 23. Are we there? Yes. I wish you could put it in New Living Translation. It reads, so Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived. This is the history of Jacob's family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flock with his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Now Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children, because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day he gave Joseph a special gift. That was a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because of their father's partiality. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream and promptly reported the details to his brothers, causing them to hate him even more. Listen to this dream, he announced. We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. My bundle stood up, and then your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before it. So you're going to be our king? Are you? His brothers taunted, and they hated him all the more for his dream and what he had said. Then Joseph had another dream and told his brothers about it. Listen to this dream, he said. The sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me. This time he told his father as well as his brothers. And his father rebuked him. What do you mean? His father asked. Will your mother, your brothers, and I actually come and bow before you? While his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father gave it some thought and wondered what it all meant. Soon after this, Joseph's brothers went out to pasture their father's flocks at Shechem. When they had gone for some time, Jacob said to Joseph, your brothers are over at Shechem with the flocks. I'm going to send you to them. I am ready to go, Joseph replied. Go and see how your brothers and the flocks are getting along, Jacob said. Then come back and bring me word. So Jacob sent him on his way, and Joseph traveled to Shechem from his home in the valley of Hebron. When he arrived there, a man noticed him wandering around the countryside. What are you looking for? He asked. For my brothers and their flocks, Joseph replied. Have you seen them? Yes, the man told him, but they are no longer here. I heard your brothers say they were going to Dothan. So Joseph followed his brothers to Dothan and found them there. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in a distance and they made plans to kill him. Here comes that dreamer, they exclaimed. Come on, let us kill him and throw him into a deep pit. We can tell our father that a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what comes of all his dreams. But Reuben came to Joseph's rescue. Let's not kill him, he said. Why should we shed his blood? Just throw him alive into this pit here. That way he will die without our having to touch him. Reuben secretly planned to help Joseph escape, and then he would bring him back to his father. So Joseph arrived. They pulled off his beautiful robe. That's the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Give him praise, give him praise, give him praise. So this story begins by telling us that Joseph was 17, a teenager. Hallelujah. Some of us are about to reach there. Some of us are there. Some of us have passed there. Hallelujah. If you're past 17 or teenage, I may call you a senior youth. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But when we look back, Joseph, at that age, 17, the Bible tells us in the first verse, that is a history. Hallelujah. So that is an age where many things are happening in the life of a teenager. Teenage, many changes are coming in. Hallelujah. So here is Joseph in the company of his brothers. And it is mentioned that those brothers are from his father's wives. You remember the wives of Jacob? I'm wondering why the Bible is mentioning Bilhah and Zilpah and not Leah. One of the things in the lives of Joseph is he didn't have his mother alive. His mother was Rachel, who died after giving birth to his second brother, Benjamin. So he would be out there with his brothers. I don't know how English puts them, either stepbrothers, half-brothers, that vocabulary. But you would imagine, in certain cultures, like this one in particular, there are many mothers. You would imagine this other child, after coming back from the field, they would run to their mother and say, Mommy, this was what was happening in the field. The other ones ran to their mother. This was what's happening. So and so beat me. So and so did it to me. This and that. But Joseph would only go to his father because he didn't have a mother. We have those cultures with us. You can imagine the gap that was in Joseph's life of having no mother. In the cultures where there are many mothers, one father. Eh? The children are there with many mothers and they have one father. There are many things happening. We know them. I don't think amidst us there is one from a family. If you looked at the third generation where there's no polygamy or fourth generation, you'll be blessed to have that lineage, that you are in this generation. And like four generations back, there was no polygamy. Hallelujah. But where there is polygamy, this is through observation. You can't rule out jealousy. You cannot rule out envy. Hallelujah. And there is always turmoil. No wonder Joseph would bring a bad report about his brothers. Maybe what is mentioned, each mother mentioning to their children. You see, Bilhah and Zilpha were maids. One of them was a maid to Leah. One of them was a maid to Rachel. Now they are co-wives. And the behavior of the brothers, Joseph's brothers, was not appealing to Joseph. He looked at whatever was happening and brought the report to his father. A bad report. Hallelujah. Teenagers, you have a bad report. To whom did you give it? You've taken a bad report. In your family, in your clan, the bad report you've taken there is you getting saved. You'll hear this word. We shall see where she will end. We shall see where he will end. They look at your other cousins and they say, even that one, how can he, how can she? And more so, if you have lost one of the parents, there is somebody supporting you. And there are children around there. And by the grace of God, you are excelling in one way or the other. That is going to trigger jealousy. It will trigger jealousy. In polygamous families, certain cultures don't know it. But for us here, I have observed it. There is always a whisper. That young girl is going to defeat you. My children, no. Let's pull her down. I know how I will do it. She cannot excel. He cannot excel. It is me supporting her. It's me supporting him. Hallelujah. This is a painful experience. A number of us have gone through it, including me. But my parents are all there to date. Hallelujah. But there will always be words. There will always be unkind words. There will always be unkind words. Joseph did not comply with the bad behavior of his brothers. Likewise, you are not complying with the bad behaviors of your brothers and sisters. Because you have felt a calling of God in your life. And you want to stand straight and stand right before your God. One of the things that comes with excellence in your life is recognition. You see here, Joseph is recognized by the love of his father and is given a coat of many colors. That is recognition of his good behavior. Much as the Bible says, he's a son of an of old age. And because Joseph didn't have a mother, he relied on his father as a father and as a mother. So every information which he would tell his mother, he would now tell his father. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So these things are happening in our lives. Yeah? The report you make. But that also signifies that you're standing right with God. If you're going to report bad behavior of your brothers and sisters, you're standing right with God. And when you report bad behavior, definitely, the person who listens to you will always confide in the information you bring. There is a way it rhymes with righteousness. And it is a confession in your life that I don't want to behave like so and so. Such teenagers even confess that I even tried this. They confess to their parents, I even tried this, but I found it was worthless. Have you made that confession to your mom or to your dad? Now that you're standing right with the Lord, you know him. You know the Lord. When you're recognized because of your good behavior, even some family secrets will be released unto you. Because you will be a custodian of the secrets of the family. You will be trusted. So Joseph was trusted by his father. And that's why in verse 2 it says, this is the history of Jacob's family. Then it begins with, when Joseph. Didn't mention any other. Joseph was among the young ones. And when you prove to be a custodian of the family secrets, many blessings are bestowed upon you because of your good behavior. But even as it appears that recognition comes in, the jealousy out there is even growing. Whereby you must be very careful in such a family where there are so many mothers. There are other things, in my own perspective, there are other things that come in. Why am I saying you be careful? I have a workmate who testified. He said they were coming back from school and his parents had passed on. But in school, even if you kept him out for 2 weeks and then you brought him back, give him a test, he'll be the best. That sparked jealousy. So one time he was with his stepbrother coming home. Now he's living in this family. The brother to his father. They serve them food. So the mother was serving food, served food in different proportions. One plate had food, was like less. Then the mother gave her real son to carry the food and gave instructions to this boy that this plate here, you give it to your brother, which had a little bit, a good heap. So the young man was saying, how can I give my half-brother this much food? Let me eat it. And then he gave the other half-brother less, the plate which has less food. Lo and behold, the much food had another ingredient. It had another ingredient. Unfortunately, The beloved son took that ingredient in the food, and his life was no more. That is how sad it became. So that young man testified that and said, I couldn't believe who would have saved me. It was not the Lord. So whatever you are going through, the Lord is with you. Nothing shall tamper with you. Hallelujah. So those things are there, but they are hidden. There will be unkind words. There will be curses. But stand with the Lord. Because inside of you, there is a dream. There is a dream. Do you see it? There is a dream. Where you are, that path where you are, it is taking you somewhere. Only keep your ears open and hear what the Lord says. You will hear him say, this is the way. Walk in it. Hallelujah. Some of us had those dreams. But because of bad words, discouragement here and there, we miss our dreams. And we're still thinking, how did I miss it? Especially if you came to know the Lord beyond teenage. There are many regrets there. But God, it is not too late. Our God is a God of a second chance. Amen. Senior youth, give him praise. He's a God of a second chance. So Joseph had a dream. And he told the brothers the dream. And he was directly touching them and say, you mean you're going to be our king? He didn't answer. But that was what was in his dream. Dirty dream that you have. Know the people whom you'll tell. Not even your father, not even your mother. Sometimes. Because remember, the Bible tells us, the second dream, even Jacob rebuked Joseph. So Joseph brought out this dream innocently. With him, he also didn't understand it. That's why he just brought it out innocently. So you might bring out your dream innocently and say, this is what I dreamed, my dear. There are people who quickly understand it and say, you mean you're going to lead us? We're going to bow before you. No way. No way. So find people who are trusted whom can tell your dream. Your spiritual father, your spiritual mother, and there must be people who have a vision to see you excel. They begin by giving a word of counsel. My son, my daughter, keep in school. My son, my daughter, keep in that path. Whatever it is, keep in that path. Trials and temptations may come in, but keep in that path. Hallelujah. There will be network references when you bring out your dream openly. They'll show you, do you see that man? He was like you. He studied in my village. I have an engineer. He studied in Russia for 6 years. And you'd say, the first year we're just learning the Russian language. Then the next, we're now engineers. But when he came back to Uganda, where you'll find him, those who come from Eastern, there is a drink called Ajono. If you come from Eastern Uganda, there's a drink called Ajono. That's where you'll find him. One time his sister said, come with me. Took him somewhere for interviews. Passed very well. They gave him a job. But because being a powerful engineer, they said, man, you have to receive some money just to begin life. They gave him some good amount of money. That was his excitement. Jumped onto a bus back to his village. Where do you find him? At the Ajono party. Online viewers, Ajono is a local drink that is alcoholic. Made locally. So those are some of the references they say. Look at him. A full engineer. So you are at school. What do you think you will become? You get it? So when they give you that negative reference, it can kill your dream if you're not careful. Those are the bad words. But somebody who loves development and wants you to excel beyond them and beyond even their children, they will always give you a positive reference. You see so-and-so was from a humble background. But see where they are. And I remember in that same village, there was another man. My grandfather used to give me him as a reference. He was the first young man who built their home. 3 houses at a go. After excelling in his workplace. And my grandfather would make that man a reference. See that family. Humble background. But see where they are now. So I want to encourage you, youth. When they give you a negative reference, cast it down. Hallelujah. They can talk about your parents. If you read about Joseph, in other chapters of Genesis, was a handsome young man. His handsomeness even attracted queens. And yet he was a teenager. You get it? So, look at yourself. You are the image of God and in his likeness. Whatever negative comments come upon your appearance, keep it to your heart that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. That vision you have is a path. You're seeing your future. Joseph saw his future. And even the father kept it in his heart and said, there's something ahead of me. I am going to have another history. But if you looked at the life of Joseph, beginning from tending the sheep with his brothers, he began to develop discipline. He never tolerated mediocrity. That's why he would report the bad behavior of his brothers. When you're seeing yourself in a certain position through your dream, you need to develop discipline. I normally make this analogy. If you're walking on land, you might have to put on gumboots and other gears, but you were traveling on water, you must put on a life jacket. And fishermen, those who have worked in the lake, I had friends who were fishermen, even at their teenage. They say you don't go fishing with a shirt with buttons. Because that one button can get you into the net and drown you. So that is an example of discipline. However smart you want to be, never put on a shirt with buttons. So they had sweaters. Eh? They called pullovers. Eh? That's one of the ones they wear go to the lake. No button in it. So in your walk with the Lord towards that vision, you need discipline. What discipline did you miss out? What discipline did you put in up to where you are now? Appreciating yourself. Envisioned future, you have to set priorities. You set your priorities in a good order. Teenagers, you are at school. Then after school, what next? Begin calculating that. There are cultural priorities. Let me give an example from the culture where I come from. Back then, the priorities were go to school, learn how to read and write and count. If you have achieved that, that's around primary. Come home. Get married. If you want to continue with education, mostly as boys, leave the wife at home. Go to senior one and continue your education. Hallelujah. But something happened in my teenage years. Something happened that changed the priorities. So we began asking them, so what happens now? What you used to gather as bride prize, eh? Bride wealth, is no longer there. What next? So those of us who fell into that season, we prioritize education. I said, until I touch a job in my hands. Because you look at your father, he has nothing to offer. Your mother has nothing to offer. So those of us who fell into that season, we put education first. Get a job. Whatever you're gathering there, put it in plan. Do you have a transport? One of my first investments, like something I acquired when I got a job, was a bicycle. A brand new one. Eh? That was a recognized achievement. Eh? You'd ride in the village and say, oh, you're one of them. We are seeing you developing. Hallelujah. Those are simple examples of priorities. Eh? Then I went ahead and bought a cow. Are you getting my priorities? When I saw my cows growing, I said, okay, now I can begin a family. But there were negative references. One time I was in my village. One of my contemporaries said, ah, guy, you moved up and down. We're not seeing that permanent job you're getting, eh? Jobs, we know you get a job and it's permanent and pensionable, but you say you had a job for 3 months, then that one ended. Now you're back with us here. why don't you come? We have plenty of land here. Let's plant cassava. Cassava is doing very well here. I looked at him, and in my heart, I have my priorities set. I have my vision. Glory be to God. And on my wedding day, my contemporaries held their cheeks like this. Quiet. My reception was in a special place. Those of you know Soroti Flying School, Civil Aviation, that was where my reception was. In one of those halls. Back to my village, I sent a truck to bring people to come and eat. Those who were courageous came. The fearful said, what happens there? Isn't that place not guarded? They say, yes. It is a facility that is guarded. I am not going. Fear. And especially those who made negative references, those who spoke unkind words, they feared to come, even when they were invited. At a certain point of your journey, you will see people shy away from celebrating your degrees. There are those who will come and they will look at you like this. They can't believe what you have achieved. But God is in control. You will achieve that dream. So I have given you my priorities. You also set yours. Don't follow mine. When I came to Central here, the city, I saw priorities set differently. That's why I was like, let me tell the young people that set your priorities right. I observed one of my workmates. He was telling me, I finished my university. And I've been running around looking for a job. I have gotten a job. I've picked a loan from our circle. I have bought a piece of land. I have begun construction. Then he said, it was at the ring beam level of his house when he announced it to his brothers. He said, hey! You've been doing this. He said, yes. Why didn't you tell us? He kept quiet. Then they said, brother, you've done well. Now what is remaining? Roofing. Then they came in. So whatever you're doing, bring it to a certain level that will embarrass those who want to pull you down. And those who are willing for you, who are willing for your development will always support you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. When you're somewhere in your development, there are those who will bring a hand. Look at Joseph, was looking for his brothers. And then a certain man saw him wandering and said, but young man, what are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for my brothers. And man said, I heard them say they are going somewhere to Dothan. Gave him direction. In your walk, in your vision, a certain man, a certain woman will give you direction. Amen. So those of us who are past that teenage, Stop regretting. The Lord is in control. Amen. He's given you another chance. He's given me another chance. Yeah? the ending will be good. Amen. Your ending will be good. A certain man, or a certain woman, maybe your dad, maybe your mom, maybe your pastor, maybe your friend. Or a loving relative. My personal testimony. I had relatives and they are still there in Kampala here. But none of them say, let's go to Kampala. You also view the city. None. I was brought to Kampala by a friend who really thought of my development. Said, you come. And I obeyed him. That was a certain man for me. Got me a job. It was a tough one, but I endured for a few months. And I prayed to the God of heaven. I still remember that prayer. God, give me a job where I can have at least a Sunday to fellowship before your presence, to worship you. After 6 months, God gave me another job. And what was it? A workplace where you are in fellowship with God from Monday to Friday. After 6 months, I'd prayed for something small, but God gave excess even beyond my expectation. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So make prayers. Youth, pray. Pray for your future. What you want to see, declare it. That vision, it will come to pass. Even if it has not happened in your family line, it will happen with you. You will be the first one. The testimonies of people who will say, I am the first one to wed in my family, in my clan. Can you imagine that? It is possible. With God, it is possible. Youth, you need counselors. Things can be tough in class. You are not alone. Somebody was so quiet. But things are tough. But when you meet together and say, this subject. But purpose? To pass to the next level. To the next level. And God will lift you to the next level. And to the next level. And to the next level. And you'll shine like stars. And your family history will be written. You as a reference point. Jacob's history began to be written with Joseph. I encourage you to read more about Joseph to the point where he became a prime minister. It's a long story. We can't cover it now. It's a long story. The hurdles he went through, at a certain point, he would think like, I think this God is not here. But he's there. Even if you're going through trials and temptations, there is a Reuben to deliver you. There is a Reuben to deliver you who wishes you good. Somebody somewhere wished me good. That's why you see me here. They wished me good. The day I got saved, this young man told me his background, very humble background, and how God lifted him and where he was. And when he was leaving, he said, I have told you everything. It is now your choice. I said, well and good. This is an opportunity. And he prayed for me. To date, I am not regretting. Hallelujah. There is someone to deliver you from whatever situation it is. I know education is tough in all its stages. I have been there. There is a point you look at yourself and say, is it possible? I remember where I cried, and amid this crying, I laughed. Because the Lord spoke to me that today, the crying endures, the mourning endures only for a night. But joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. The negative words I received, it was after 10 years when a certain old woman talked to me with negative words. And 10 years down the road, I was a teenager then, 10 years down the road, God gave me the opportunity to visit that old woman in another special way. It was not my plan. But when she saw me, she failed to sit down. Sent somebody to ask me three same questions. Is it you? Say, I am the one. After a few moments, this person again say, is it you? Say, yes, I am the one. Are you sure? Is it you? I said, yes, I am the one. Glory be to God. There is always a deliverer. Amen. Hallelujah. So there is that history in your family. You are the one to rewrite it. In the name of Jesus. You are to rewrite that history. That there was this person by this name. Yeah? And the parents will be telling that. You will be the reference point because of your excellence, because of your salvation. There is a friend of mine. I think he also grew up like Joseph. So one day he was testifying. He says his father also had many wives. And his mother was not officially married. Before they brought her home, she was at their place. So these people planned and went and grabbed him from the mother and left the mother. So he was brought here and he grew up amongst his father's wives. He clung to his father, went to school, got born again, came and preached to his father. You can imagine preaching to your father against polygamy. And your mother is not there. What would others think? He prayed to his father. The father got born again. Went to church. And then, what would others think? Leaders continued, ministering to him. And then declared to his wives, I have chosen only one of you to walk to the aisle. The rest, you will still remain my wives. I will still support you, but I will not visit your houses. The preaching was made by a son. You can imagine how tough it is to preach to your father and say, Father, you better put away. Who? And the father took that heed and chose one of the mothers and walked the aisle. Lo and behold, that young man is now a man who has rewritten the history of their family. Glory be to God. I know each one of us has a vision. Oh, many visions. Another one was aborted. Another one is still there. Let's hold to that vision and have discipline around it. we can achieve it. And the best is to be connected to the Lord at all times. Whether times are tough or not, be connected to the Lord. You will achieve that vision. The change that will come into your life will be talked about. Hallelujah. It will bring glory to the Lord. So the most important thing is have Jesus in your life. We have contemporaries out there. Very many examples. What's the difference? It is because you know the Lord. But otherwise, you would be the same like them. And you do not be deceived. There is what is going around in the world today. Negative references. The way you look, eh? Your face is handsome, but you're a boy. You should have been a girl. Have you heard of such? You're beautiful, but your beauty is of a boy. God made a mistake. They even go to that extent to say God made a mistake. One of the young men around here is my cousin. He went to minister in Butabika. Then there is this beautiful girl. She doesn't believe she's a girl. With all the appearance, the physique, eh? What the medics call physiology and anatomy of a lady, but she doesn't believe she's a girl. She says she's a boy. And in that confusion, her mind has a challenge. She has a mental health issue. Just because of a word that you were not meant to be a girl, you were meant to be a boy. And in the Western world, some of our people who visit there, they say, these people whose minds have been confused, even in class, they are very dull because of that confusion. Look at yourself and appreciate that, God, you made me right. I don't regret being a boy. I don't regret being a girl because you are my God, fearfully and wonderfully made. My soul knows this. Hallelujah. So if you're there, and you don't know your description, it is in the Bible. And you only know if you are in Christ Jesus. I want to take this opportunity. See, if you have not known your Maker, this is an opportunity for you to know your Maker. Give your life to Jesus Christ. If you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, this is the opportunity. And you see that vision come to pass. And you rewrite the history of your family like Joseph did. Hallelujah. With a show of hands, anybody willing to give their lives to Jesus? Anybody willing to give their life to Jesus? Okay. I want to appreciate that you all know Jesus. And Jesus knows you. Two things. You know Jesus, and Jesus knows you. Clap for yourselves. Let us pray. Jehovah, our King, our God, we want to thank you. Thank you for your message you've given us today. Thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, expound this word in our hearts. Let it be in our subconscious mind that we know you are present. You have a vision for each one of us. You have a plan for each one of us. A good plan to give us a hope and a future. We bless your name. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Dear friend, perhaps You have no saving relationship with God. And you love God. And you want to engage with Him, but you don't know how. I want to show you how. In John chapter 10, verse number 9, Jesus said, "I am the door. Whoever enters through me shall be saved." It's the door into the kingdom of God. Right now, you can enter a relationship with the Almighty God. You can do that through a simple prayer of commitment that you can make to God right now through Him. And if you are ready to enter a relationship with God so that you can be a child of God, bona fide child, not just a creation, not just a creature of God, created by God, but a son, a daughter, follow this simple prayer of commitment after me. Say, "Dear Jesus, I come to you as a sinner. Forgive all my sins. I repent of my sins. Right now, I invite you, come into my heart, be my Lord and my Savior. Amen." If you say that prayer from your heart, you are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Find a Bible teaching church near you where you can go and fellowship in order to grow spiritually. If you live in the city of Kampala, you are most welcome to come and worship with us at Victory Church of Christ Ministries International in Luzira, Kampala. And the word we share in these services will never allow your life to remain the same. And let us know about the commitment you have made through our contacts on the screen. We'll send you some material through the mail, through your email, so that you can be edified and you can know how to walk in your newfound life with God. God bless you abundantly. I wait to hear from you. Amen.